like to turn, if I may, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and I want to consider with you verses 13 to 16. And I'll have to read these words, if I may. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms. He placed his hands on them, on their heads, and blessed them. And may God bless his word to us. Well, I want to speak on this passage that is before us, and it's full of interest and commands our attention in many, many ways. It's a tough world we're living in, friends. Would you agree with this? It's a tough and cynical world. And it's very, very easy to be influenced by that cynicism and that toughness, as it were. It's easy to become hardened. It's so easy to become insensitive. And it's so tempting to become suspicious of everybody, all and sundry. And so, this is seen in so many different areas of life, you'd agree. For example, you can't hoot your car horn to another car lest you encourage road rage in that person you have warned. You dare not look at anyone for a long time with eye contact lest you get misunderstood and wrong implications can be drawn. And you are conscious, are you, if you go to London in the train and then on the tube, people have got their newspapers as kind of barriers. There's a remarkable instance that happened this week that's hardly believable, but it is true. And I'm quoting from a national newspaper. This probably was on the back of the attempted bombing of a tube some 3 or 4 weeks ago in South London. But this is what we read. The headline of the article says this: "Doomsday preacher on Wimbledon train causes passengers to flee." Well, what was this all about? Well, panicked commuters force open doors of a railway carriage and spill onto the tracks after a man wearing a rucksack recites some Bible verses.
Really?
Yes, really. Hundreds of thousands of commuters experienced major disruption during the rush hour on Monday morning, this just passed, after passengers evacuated themselves from a train in London and spilled onto the track because they feared a fellow passenger was acting irrationally. What was he doing? Well, someone who was a nearby viewer of these incidents said, well, this man was quite well spoken. He got his Bible out and he read, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you about something, and that something is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here to heal your sins. The Bible tells you that homosexuality is a sin and sex before marriage is a sin, and you need to repent." And at this, the commuters flee. They open the doors of the carriage onto a track and cause disruption during the rush hour of Monday morning. And one of the fellow commuters said, "Well, you didn't find that man threatened at all." But people started pushing and shoving, and another passage said, "Oh, he's scaring people, he's scaring, we've got to flee." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I have to. And this has hit the international headlines, because on the internet this was spoken of in America. And the commuters in South London have now a reputation of being quite saddeningly foolish, if I can say that. We could hear a woman outside saying, "There's a man in there, he's going to kill us all." No, he's just reading Bible verses about Jesus. Amazing, but true. What better to read about Jesus? You don't flee from him, you flee to him, my friends. You flee to him. And he certainly has come to heal people of their sins and take away their emptiness and bring joy, gladness and forgiveness to them. And we read of Jesus in the Bible. And we read of him. This is a loving man has come. A loving man has come. And he's made all the difference. And we read in this passage the loving tenderness of Jesus. We see his compassion and grace. How strange those words seem today, don't they? Loving compassion and grace. Look at our world in which we're living today, in 2017. In the hurly-burly of life and in our culture. Can you ever say, "Oh, this is a place of loving compassion and grace"? Can you see that? No, you can't. It's only to be found, my friends, in the Lord Jesus himself. And this is the wonderful passage we're going to consider. And the subject is a delightful one for me and a privilege for me to speak on this morning. And it is how to come to Christ. How to come to Christ. And I find this passage is fascinating, because there is a contrast, is there not, between the children and this rich young ruler who turns his back on Jesus because of his many possessions. And the man's face fell when Jesus told him his requirements, because he had many possessions. But we're going to focus really on this verse 13 to verse 16. How to come to Christ. It's a delightful scene. The Lord and his disciples are travelling up to Jerusalem, and parents are queuing up for Jesus to bless their children. Well, that's something wonderful, isn't it? They came to hear Jesus teach, and they brought their children with them for him to bless. It's great, isn't it, to have children in church? It's wonderful for them to come to Sunday services and have their teaching. It's wonderful. How blessed this is. How blessed they are to have boys and girls hearing the word of God. Wonderful. I'm pleased to see that. And this is so touching and helpful. We're going to see in this passage various reactions to Jesus. And there's various groupings I want to see here. There's four main things I want for us to reflect on and consider this morning. And I want to consider firstly the parents. The parents. Here's a picture of confidence. Confidence. Verse 13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. Nothing magical here. I must get Jesus to touch him. Well, no, it was... They just wanted him to be in his presence. They wanted him to bless them. And in Matthew's account, there's a parallel account. We have a little bit more details. Matthew 19, verse 13. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. Oh yeah, pray for them. No superstition here then. What this does show, of course, that the parents were sure of Jesus. They were confident of him. Well, of course, that's so important. If we bring our children to someone, we want to be confident of them. We need to entrust our children to those who are trustworthy, of course, that's true. I won't go into details, but you would be aware, of course, there have been tragedies of children being hurt by those to whom were unworthy, who were given their charge. And this is sad when this happens. Tragedies have happened because of parents not checking out the various circumstances they ought to have done. But that was true regarding Jesus. They were confident of him. They were confident of him. They were sure of him. And what better one could bring to than Jesus? No one better than him. So he could bless them and pray for them with them. What a terrible thing it is to hinder children from coming to Jesus. Ever thought of that? Well, that's a terrible thing. Parents have a wonderful blessing and responsibility of having children. I remember the day I became a father in July 1973. What an amazing privilege this was. To have the care of a baby. And I remember we prayed for our little one before she was born and after and every day since. Because it's such a privilege to be a parent. But how terrible it is, and we're finding this today, aren't we? And I'm sure in your work for the Lord you've found this as well, that children are hindered from coming to Jesus. That's a sad thing. And Jesus says, if you hinder someone coming to me, it's better for you to have a millstone thrown round your neck and thrown into the deepest sea. No, don't hinder. Encourage. And if you're a Christian this morning, you need actually to be absolutely confident of Jesus and sure of him. And you can be, and you ought to be. He'll never let you down. He never will. Here, the parents is a picture of loving confidence in Jesus. But that's one grouping. We see, of course, and there's another grouping, of course, and that is the disciples. What were they thinking about here? What were they thinking about? One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, and Matthew says, and pray with them. But, there's a but here. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Well, they should have known better. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. Wasn't pleased with them. Wasn't pleased. And they were, here I would say this, the disciples is a picture to us of callousness. They were callous. Hadn't they heard the words of Jesus earlier? What were they thinking when he was reading and speaking to them before? For example, if you turn back in Mark 9 and verse 36, the disciples would have been here, listening to this, seeing this. Then he put a little child among them, taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but my Father who sent me." But the disciples heard that. So what is the consequence of them hearing it? They scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. When Jesus said, "No, welcome children, not hinder them, welcome them." Were they listening to the earlier passage we just spoken about? No, I wonder if they were. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? We can hear the Bible preached and take it in. It doesn't make any difference. Well, my friends, can I say this? I hope I'm not naive here. I'll be perfectly frank with you. I believe this. When you hear the Bible preached, it should change you. It should alter you. You should be a different person by the Holy Spirit's enabling. Has the Bible really touched our hearts? What difference has hearing made? That's a powerful question, isn't it? I ask that of myself. Someone would say, "Well, is it supposed to?" Answer, yes it is. It is. The heart is naturally hard and unresponsive. And to come to know Jesus means that you hear the Bible and you yield to it and submit yourself wholly to it by the Holy Spirit's enabling, and it transforms you as you do so. And you yield to that word, you yield to the Bible, as you yield to Christ. That's true. That is true. Maybe the disciples thought that he needed protecting. He doesn't need protecting, Jesus. He can look after himself, thank you. Maybe they thought that the children weren't worthy of Jesus' attention. Well, they were wrong, weren't they? They were wrong. Anyone who welcomes a little child on my behalf welcomes me, he said. And not only that, whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but my Father who sent me. So this is really big stuff here. We're talking about reality here, and it is very important that we take this on board. You and I, friends, we need a tender heart towards Jesus, don't we? We do. You need it, I need it. A heart that's tender to Jesus and responsive to his word. I don't know if anyone's here became a Christian when they were children. It may well be. How touching it is to hear of a child being converted. I was at a Bible study on a Thursday, and I had a time of prayer, and a little 7-year-old boy leads in prayer. And he made me weep. This young lad, it's saved. He's saying, Granny doesn't think I'm saved some months ago, but she does now. And he's going to be baptized soon. So that's great. How wonderful it is that he's got his whole life before him as a Christian. Many, many Christians became believers as children. Thank God for that. The great evangelist D.L. Moody was once asked at a service how many people had been converted. How many people had been converted at his crusade or meeting? He said, well, 3.5. 3.5? Oh. Was that 3 adults and 1 child? No. 3 children, 1 adult. Because a child who's converted had his whole life. I regret that I was 17 when I was converted. I had 17 years wasted, really. But there we are. I trust I've used those years since to his glory. So a child who becomes a Christian at an early age has his whole life, her whole life, to use the Saviour. Here then is this second grouping, the disciples, a picture, we would say, of callousness. And then, it's not a grouping, but the third element here on the scene is the Lord Jesus himself. From the parents to the disciples to Jesus himself. Here the Lord Jesus, a picture of compassion. Here we see this loving, gracious Saviour. And this young man on Monday, reading his Bible on the train. It took some courage to do it, didn't it? Thank the Lord for that witness. But what an amazing response. All the commuters flee out of the carriage and stop the train and all kinds of things happen. No. This young man wants to speak of Jesus. This loving Lord. This gracious Saviour. It's so refreshing. I'm refreshed. I hear these words of Jesus and my heart is refreshed. Think about these words. When he saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Oh, wonderful. Don't therefore let us hinder the smallest child coming to simple and childlike faith in Jesus. I was hearing of 6 and 7 year olds weeping at a gospel service, hearing about Jesus. Would we tap them and say, no, these things are real for you to think about? Jesus is never too busy for anyone. Least of all children. Least of all children. And in our secular schools today, what can we say? What can we say? What can we say? We say innumerable children are being hindered. But Jesus, never too busy for children, and never too busy for you, though you may not be a child. Jesus is never too busy for you. And if you come to him in simple childlike faith, trusting in his word, he'll receive you. His door is always open. Have you ever sought an appointment with someone official, and they said, sorry, too busy. I remember many years ago I was working for British Aerospace in their factory at Richmond, and I wanted to go and see human resources. And I made them, went to see them, and they said, "What's your number?" I said, "I don't know my number, but my name's Jeffrey Cobb." He said, "I don't know about your name, I want your number." "My name is this." No, "We want your number. Because if we don't know your number, we can't deal with you." "Oh, dear, what have we got to?" You never get that reaction from Jesus. You never get a reaction. He's too busy. He never is. He never is. He never is. Jesus is willing to save all who come to him. He is the safest place of all, in the arms of the Lord Jesus. Are you trusting in him this morning? How secure our salvation is if we know Jesus, that loving, gracious Lord. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them, on their heads, and blessed them. And from Matthew's account, we can be sure of this, he prayed for them as well. Wonderful. So here is this third picture, if you like, of the Lord Jesus, a picture of compassion. And the fourth and last picture, of course, would be the children themselves. Here's a picture of conversion. This is what the Lord Jesus says: "Don't stop them. Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." That's an important verse, that, isn't it? The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. So this sparked off a lot of thoughts for me, as I thought about this passage. What is it about children that so illustrates the essence of conversion and being a kingdom dweller? What is it about children that Jesus is saying the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children? What is it? Well, some would say, of course, it's the simplicity of faith. And to a certain extent that's true, but that doesn't tell the whole story, I don't think. I think that is true as far as it goes, the simplicity of faith. But I don't believe that identifies the essence of what's spoken here. Is it simple confidence? Yes, but more than that. Is it the humility of a child? Sometimes they show pride, don't they? Get them together with toys. You see that soon enough. I think that the major lesson that Jesus is drawing here from these little children, as he says that the kingdom belongs to those who are like these children, what he's saying is he's identifying helpless dependency. That is the essence of it, I believe. Being helplessly dependent upon the Lord. And I believe that's so. See a newborn baby. When my wife was delivered of our daughter in July 73, I had that privilege of being there and soon after holding this little infant in my arms and then giving her back to her mum. What could be described of our daughter then? She was helplessly dependent. So clearly. To hold a newborn baby is awesome, isn't it? to be given the sole responsibility of upbringing as parents is just incredible. Every single child in the world, absolutely, completely, totally, objectively, subjectively, existentially is helpless. I was like that as a child, and so were you. And so were you. And to those of us who've had loving parents, caring parents, we're very grateful and thankful. Thankful our mums and our dads. Maybe there are some here who hadn't such happy memories. But my point is this, friends, that those who seek to enter the kingdom of God, there is to be this utter and complete helplessness as you trust in Jesus alone. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. And that sense of utter and complete dependency has to be continued. I must continue in utter and complete helpless dependency upon my Saviour. Never should there be a time when I say, I can now do without Jesus and can live a life of independence. No, no, no. Have you come to Him like a little child, trusting Him? This is what it means to come to Christ. May God help us to look to Him alone and His finished work upon the cross. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, thank you. Bless it to us and own it to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.